Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Again, we do thank you for being here this morning, and as I said, there were a lot of excuses for you to not be able to be here, and we really do appreciate the fact that you came, because we may have some folks away gone on a mission trip, but that doesn't mean God's not still here in the house, and He is here for us to worship. And we're going to talk about that's last week's. So you can go ahead and take that down, Travis. in front of your bulletin, we're talking about ministry excellence today. As we continue the core value series, and those core values can be found in your bulletin on page 4. And as I thought about the title of just how that was called, ministry excellence, like I could see how folks could say, well, that's for people who are in the ministry, right? That's not for me. But one of the great lessons I've learned in the 11 and a half years that I've been here at St. Charles River Church is the fact that we are all called to ministry. God does have a special calling on certain people to extend that into to a full-time service role. But we are all called to be ministers to God and to serve other people. There's a quote from Hunter S. Thompson, an author, says, anything worth doing is worth doing right. And I know we've heard many variations of that, but the bottom line is, if you're going to do something, you do it and you give it your very best, which is what we're going to talk about today. Because when we're serving God, we want to give Him our very best, and we're going to see why He deserves that. He deserves to get our very best. I ran across an article from Brandon Cox, who's a pastor of Grace Hills Church in Arkansas. And he formerly served as a pastor under Rick Warren at Saddleback. So he's a man that's got some good pedigree here. And the article is called The Five Thoughts About Excellence in Ministry. Now I'm only going to talk about the first three here for just a moment. And the first one was, we do things with excellence for God's glory. What we do, we're doing for God, the God that we just sang about a few moments ago, the Almighty God. We don't do it for our own personal gratification or glorification. It is for Him. We're not here to try to impress others. We're just here to serve God. And the second one is, we refuse to make an idol of excellence. So as we're talking about excellence, sometimes we can get tripped up in perfection and trying to be the best at something. And it's not necessarily because of what the results are, it's because we want to feel that we are the best at something. Yeah, I had this little problem with, battle with my grandson, who I know some of you saw on Facebook yesterday, kicked my rear end in Monopoly yesterday, but he thinks he has to be the best at something, and if there's somebody that can maybe do something a little better than him, then he gets upset about it. But God gives us all different purposes, different gifts, and you're not always going to be the best at something. But what we're striving for and what we're going to talk about so much today is just giving the best of what you have. And the third one is, we refuse to allow the pursuit of excellence to hold us back. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. If you're looking for everything to be absolutely perfect, you're not going to do anything. You're going to go in. You're going to have some failure. You're going to have some struggles. But you go right in, and you go in, and you just keep working at it. And there's a meme I've seen on Facebook before of a beautiful blue sky with one little wisp of a white cloud. And the caption says, well, I was going to run today, but that cloud makes it look like rain, so I'm not going to run. We all look for that excuse, right? Any excuse not to go out and run. But if we're so worried about being, about it being perfect right off the bat, we will never get anything done. The previous church that I attended, I moved back here. I'm a St. Louis born and raised. I lived in the Detroit area for 10 months back in 93 and 94 for work. So when I came back here in August of 94, we had decided, we were feeling God was calling us to a different church than what we attended when we lived here previously. And it's a church that I had a great connection with because, my mom, my stepdad were going there. My brother and sister-in-law were attending. I knew the pastor. I knew other folks there from, I played softball against them and that. So we had connections there. But one of the things that as we started going there, and I think they expected us to just become members right away. Well, we took a little bit of time. And one of the things is I went up to the Sunday school director, the adult Sunday school director. I said, John, you've got a gap here. And one of the things, what they did was, good old, it was a small Southern Baptist church, was in the adult Sunday school area, you were split into two age groups, youngins, oldins. I was in the youngins then. And then within that, men and women. I said, John, you need to have something for couples. Because sometimes, especially when you have new people come in, they're not comfortable with being split up when they're going into a class or something. They want to stay together. You need to have something for couples. He goes, well, if we do it, you'll have to teach it. Well, that's, I opened my mouth, so that's fine. And so we did. We set that up. We went in. And we didn't wait for, okay, let's recruit some couples and then we'll start this class. We went in and started doing it. And for a while, John was the only one that came in. Now, he was the only one I was teaching to. Just so we'd have somebody there. But that was okay. And he would apologize. He said, it's okay, John. It's going to take time. Well, then we had some, I'll tell you what, we got some friction as well. We had some pushback from other people in the church because they thought I was trying to take away from other classes. I said, I'm not trying to mess with y'all's classes. This is for people who are not currently engaged in Sunday school, and this is something maybe they would like. And for when new people come in. So then we had a gentleman came in, his wife was, he was at church faithfully every Sunday, but he did not go to Sunday school. His wife served in the church. But he just didn't like to set up a Sunday school. But then he came into our class, and then she came with him. So we had a couple, our first couple. And then we had some visitors come. We got another couple. And we started to reach the people. And then we outgrew our room. We had to go into a different room. And then as we started bringing in, as more people started coming in, then those people started going out and serving in other areas of the church. That doesn't happen if I had waited for the perfect opportunity and for the fact that I knew I was going to start with a class of 10 right away or something. It doesn't happen without just going ahead and starting right off. So we can't wait for the perfect opportunity. We go in and we just start working and God will make a way. So let's go into our passage in Colossians chapter 3. If you do look at your bulletin, you see it has, for ministry excellence, that's the second one from the bottom of the core values. It has Colossians 3, 23, and 24, but we're going to back up a little bit. We're going to start by looking at verse 16, and as I read some of these verses, I want you to listen for words that show a wholeness or a completeness, a fullness. For example, verse 16, let the message about Christ in all, the word all, in all its richness, fill your lives. You don't just take a little bit of God's richness, you take it all. You receive it all. You let it fill your lives, not just give it a little part of your lives, you let it fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives you. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Fully pour out your heart for God. Give him your all in the praise that he deserves, singing to him. So what does that look like and what does that sound like? So I want us to watch a video here real quick. It's from the Passion Conference a few years ago. And it's a part of a song, But what I want you to look for, besides listening to the song, is watch the people. There'll be shots of the people throughout the auditorium, just ignoring everything around them, just lifting their hands, closing their eyes, praising God, and you hear their voices fill that auditorium. What I want you to get out of that was, did you see the people with their hands raised, singing at the top of their lungs, people dancing, people just excited and lifting up praise for God? In the Hillsong movie, Let Hope Rise, Joel Houston says, he's talking about writing songs, these songs are written for people to sing, not just to listen to. When we're up here, when we have songs sing, we want you, Pastor Barry and I, we've talked about this several times. We talked about it with Pastor Mike a little bit. When we're down here in front, we love watching the worship team up here, hearing them and just pouring of their hearts out. I'll tell you what we like even more though, is when we hear you behind us, when we hear you singing out, filling this room. We had, even with our number today, we had that this morning, people singing out and filling the room with his praise. Because that means you're not just observing what they're doing up here. You're actually being a part of it. You're bringing something to it. And that's what we love. We love it when we see that. So you're probably sitting there saying, okay, Mike, title of the message is Ministry Excellence. You're talking about worship right now. What's the connection there? The connection is when we had that worship, that brings us into that great relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It opens us up to him. When we're giving our all in there and we had that connection with him, then it allows us to give our all as we go and we serve him. Verse 17, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him. Giving thanks through him to God the Father. You are a representative of Christ. What you do, everything you do in your life, and we're going to look at another verse in a minute that tells us we need to really be aware of what we do each and every moment of our life. But what we do is we are giving praise. We are representing Christ Jesus in all that we do. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the and we just are trying to introduce Eli to a little bit this weekend. But the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team and the great upset in beating the Soviet Union in the Olympics. And if you follow any of that story, you know that as they built that team, this is college players from all around the country, but as they built that team, they invited a number of people from the University of Minnesota, which is where Herb Brooks was coaching. He was the coach of the Olympic team, and from Boston University. And that may not seem like a big thing, but there was a lot of friction at that time between the players from Boston and from Minnesota because of some things that had happened previously in tournament play. And now we're trying to bring them together to form a cohesive unit. And one of the things that Coach Brooks says was, you got to check your baggage at the door. You don't bring that here. This is not where we're settling scores. We're here because we're here to become a team. And one of the things that one of the drills that he would put them through, they called them Herbies, where they would stand at one goal line and they would skate to the blue line, come back, then skate to the red line, come back, skate to the far blue line and come back, and then skate all the way down and come back. This is all in their gear. And in the documentary called Do You Believe in Miracles, the players talked about, if you do two or three of those, those wear you out a little bit. If you did 10 to 12 of those, that was pretty excessive. Well, they had a situation where they started their exhibition play, training for the Olympics, and they went and played Norway. And it was a game they were expected to actually win. And the game ended in a tie. The players put a very lackluster effort on the ice. Now, one of the things that Brooks would do to try to build some cohesion was he had players at different times where they would introduce themselves, where they were from, and who they played for. They'd give their names, their hometowns, the schools they played for. So after this game with Norway, he decided that they're not done. They're getting ready to skate off the ice. He said, back on the ice. So they go back out there, and they start doing Herbies. One after the other. They're getting wore out. After a while, the rink manager, he turns the lights off in the arena because he wants to go home. So they think, oh, gosh, we've made it. Nope. Coach Brooks wasn't done yet. More Herbies, up and down, up and down. In the documentary, they said they probably did that for about 45 minutes or so. And these guys are just wore out. So if you've seen the movie Miracle, it has a great depiction of this, where the guys are wore out. And then all of a sudden you hear Mike Caruzioni, who would end up being the captain of the team. Winthrop, Massachusetts, gives his hometown. Coach Brooks says, who do you play for? I play for the United States of America. And Coach says, we're done. That's what he was trying to get them to do, to understand. They were, because there's a line where he says, the name on the front of your jersey is more important than the name on the back. You're not playing for yourself. You're playing for the United States of America. He was trying to get them to buy into that cohesion and who they were representing. They were not representing themselves. They were representing their country. Whatever we do each and every day, we are representing God in what we do in our lives. Let's jump down to verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. There's another one of those words, in everything that you do. Try to please them all the time. Again, this is not just a part-time thing. This is something you do all the time. Not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. You never know who's watching you in what you do. Matter of fact, in today's age, you really never know who's watching you. It just amazes me how people cannot realize that there could be somebody standing there with a camera capturing something that they're doing. Matter of fact, I forget what it was, but there was something that happened a few months ago, and I said, I kind of walk around anymore, just like I think there's always somebody with a camera on me. Not that there'd be any reason to, but we're always watched. Because you know what? Even if we're not seeing what each other's doing, God is watching us. And so we need to make it a practice that all we do, we need to understand that He is watching us. Verse 23, work willingly at whatever you do. Again, there's that whatever. Anything you're doing, work willingly. As though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Because quite honestly, we are. If you remember back, one of the points we read at the beginning was, we're here to change lives and change lives for God. So whatever we do, we are working for the Lord. We're not working for ourselves. James J. Braddock was a promising fighter back in the 20s, a title contender. One thing he had, though, he had a little problem with his right hand. It would have a tendency to break. And he made it to a title fight, and he broke his hand. He broke it so severely that it damaged his boxing career. And at that time, he was living comfortably. But then when he got where he couldn't fight anymore, the country was hitting the depression, and he's looking for work, and he has a hard time finding work. So he loses his house, loses a lot of his possessions, and he's living in just a small little basement-like apartment with his family, just struggling to make ends meet, struggling to keep the electricity turned on, just to have some food for his children. Well, then one day he gets an opportunity to do what was supposed to be a one-time fight. He had somebody back out at the last minute. His manager called him, said, I can get you a fight. So he takes it just because it'll give him some money, give his family some money. Well, what was not expected was he won the fight. So then he starts kind of getting that itch, and then he gets another fight, and he wins that. And he gets another fight, and he wins that. Next thing you know, he's getting a chance to fight for the heavyweight title of the world. And back in the 30s, that was a huge thing. And the heavyweight champion of the world in boxing was very worldly known and renowned. So he gets this opportunity to fight, and he trains. Now, his wife, May, she was not crazy about his boxing. He said, I gotta take this shot. So as he leaves us, he lived in New Jersey, right across the river from New York City metro area. So he left home to go over. The fight was in New York. And his wife goes up to the church to pray. And she walks in, and she's greeted by the priest. And she goes, I came to pray for Jim. And he said, so did they. And as you look inside the church is just filled with people praying for Jim Braddock in his fight. And the father says, they think he's fighting for them as well. See, he wasn't just representing himself and his family in his fight. He was representing a group of people who have went through an immense struggle at this time. And they saw him as their representative. He was fighting for them. And he won the fight. And I would actually encourage you sometime, if you've never seen the movie Cinderella Amanda, to check it out, because it's really great story about James Braddock and what happened here. A great story of redemption. Well, you know, what I took from that was that he was fighting for others besides himself. And he didn't realize it. He did not see it as he was fighting for that group of people, but he was. He was fighting as their representative. We are representatives of Christ in all that we do. And we're working for the Lord. We're working for people, we're really working for the Lord. Verse 24. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. Again, Pastor Mike, I can only imagine, right? Fits so well with this, the reward that we have waiting for us. And there's a movie coming out, I think it's coming out this weekend, based on the background of that song, how that song came to be. But it's a song that gets sung a lot at funerals, because people are going to be with the Lord. But it's a song that carries so much impact to us here as well. Just thinking about what God has in store for us. And as we go through all these difficult times in life today, or go through struggles, but we know that God has a reward waiting for us, and we are thankful for that, for what he has for us. So ministry excellence. Giving your very best to God. He has gifted us, and he's gifted us all in different ways, but for a common purpose. Just like that hockey team was brought together from different parts of the country for a common goal to represent their country, we are brought here today to serve God and to use the skills that he gives us and the gifts that he gives us to serve him. So Heavenly Father, as we get ready to close out this message today, Lord, we are so thankful for the sacrifices, the gifts that you gave for us, and the gifts that you gave to us to serve you. And I pray for those here today, Father, that as they think about your words, that they examine themselves and ask, am I giving my very best for you? And then look at how they can do that, how they can plug in, how they can serve you, Father. We have a mission team right now heading down to Panama. We ask as they're down there, they are giving their very best to the people of Corundu. And we know they do because we've seen the impact that has taken place there already because of different people giving of their gifts and talents and giving of their time. And we pray that as we're here today, that we look at what we can do to continue to further that here in our area as well. And to advance your kingdom. We praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.